Good morning. Some of you know how it feels to stand up here. To say that I'm nervous is an understatement. But I would like to do my part in building God's kingdom and being used for Him. I want Him to be glorified this morning. I want to thank our ministry team and our elders. Well, all of you that have taken a turn up here, thank you. It's really helped me see what the effort is, the effort that it takes to make this happen. So thank you. I appreciate that a lot. It has been good for me because I struggled to put in the effort to study on my own. And so this kind of gave me a little bit of a deadline, and I had to prepare. So that was really good for me. When I was 9 or 12 or somewhere in that age range, I had a cousin getting married in Colorado, and I think that was my first airplane ride. We took an airplane out. It was just a passenger jet, and I don't remember if it was on the way out or the way back or what exactly, but when you walk down the aisle to get off, you can either go straight ahead to the cockpit or you can turn left and get off. And oftentimes there's flight attendants or sometimes the pilot standing there at that intersection. And I don't remember if it was mom or if it was I, whose idea it was, but we asked him if I could walk up front and look inside, and I remember he let us, so I walked up there, and I don't remember if I sat down or if I just looked at it and was like, wow, there's buttons and gauges and knobs, and like, I thought it'd be cool to be a pilot, but this is like next level. I can't even do this because it's too much to learn. And I was probably about 15 when my Uncle Galen got his license and gave me some rides. And so this is small airplane, very much more simple. And so it had that simplicity to it, but also it was, hey, I know a guy. This is my uncle. I know him. He did this. So maybe I can too sometime. It wasn't that far off, unreachable goal. Another story. I was a teenager. I'm not sure how old. I had a cousin and a friend that were a team on an archery tournament. And I had thought about joining, but not just for the fun of it, more than winning the prize. And they won. And after they won, I was like, you know what? If he can, I can too. I never did do the archery tournament, but I guess I say those stories to say that I'm just a guy, just like you guys. So if I can stand up here, you can too. You have to be willing to be used of God. And it's okay to be nervous, I guess, sometimes. I don't feel like I'm very well trained in public speaking, but I'll try to do what I can. So anyway, that was not the goal this morning, but that was free. The title this morning is Desiring the Word. And I was trying to think of how I could come up with a title that would kind of include what I wanted. I give a little bit of a disclaimer. Last Sunday was our small group time, and I was in charge of leading discussion for that. So I said, hey, everybody, why don't you bring some verses to our small group, and we'll discuss the benefits of studying the Word or promises God gives of studying the Word, that kind of thing. And I didn't have the title then, and so some of this is their work. And I got to use some of that. So credit goes to them for some of the stuff. To get started, I'm going to be jumping through a bunch of verses that help us, that God gives us. There's commands, there's kind of like cause and effect verses, reasons why we should be studying God's Word. But first, I want to go to 2 Timothy 3:16. And you're welcome to try to follow along. I'll try to go slow enough that you can if you want. But there's going to be a number of passages that will jump back and forth too. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It didn't come by man, but by the holy men of God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So these verses I chose because it proves that the Bible is God's word. It's not from men. In a sense it is, because they were the ones that spoke it or wrote it. But it was from God through men. So therefore we can believe it. I hope this doesn't get too discombobulated. I'll try to keep it in order, and I don't feel like I did a very good job of doing that in my notes. So here we go. Psalm 19, 7 through 9. So the first verses I read were telling us that the Scripture was given, or it's from God. And then these verses I'll read, and it'll show that it's right, it's true. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 119, 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Jump down to verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Now down to 144. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Thy word is, now 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So the law, the testimony, the statutes, I kind of lump those all together as being God's word. And I highlighted them. They're perfect, they're sure, they're right, they're pure, they're true, they're everlasting, and they're it's truth. We can believe it because it's from God, and then he also tells us that it's true. We, in studying it and and doing it, we receive blessings. Sometimes those blessings are named and sometimes not. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. And okay, Psalm 119, 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So we can receive a blessing by being in the Word and doing it. And there's quite a number of passages that God gives us in the Bible that command us to study and to keep his law. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we're supposed to have it, but we're also supposed to teach it and share it. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So this is in the Old Testament, and I think it was talking specifically to the children of Israel. But I think we can apply it to ourselves today. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So there's a promise with the commandment. Verse 3, it says, hear therefore, O Israel. And I read that and I thought, I'm not Israel. Put your name in there. Make that a blank and put your name there. Hear therefore, O Sheldon, O people of God, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O people of God, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. It tells us to love the Lord. What does love mean? So if you're supposed to love somebody, what do? If you're in a, I thought of this, if you're in a dating relationship and you love them, right? What are you trying to do? You're trying to get to know them. You're trying to pursue them. You're trying to see what makes them happy. If we're supposed to love the Lord, what are we supposed to do? I think that very same thing. Pursue him. And what better way than to study his word? What better way to learn to know him than to study his word? And then it says, you're supposed to love him with all. How much is all? Ryan, so if your parents, so there's three trash bags sitting there, and your dad says, Ryan, I want you to take all the trash out today. You're going to take two, right? Why not? You only got two hands and you can't get a third one because they're so big. But it's too big for that. They're big. But you want to go fishing. You don't have time for that, right? No, you need to do it all or else there's going to be consequences. And that's how it is with us and loving God, if we don't love him all, if we love him less than all, there's going to be consequences. In the end, he will probably say to us, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates." Where are you supposed to have the words? I think there was a lot of words in there that could have been shortened by saying everywhere. In your heart, and just have it around you. Talk about it. Teach your children. But you can't teach if you don't know, so you have to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The study at the beginning of that verse, I looked that up, and it says to give all diligence. Interest oneself most earnestly. Study so you can be approved unto God. We were told to love in verse 5. And part of that is keeping his commandments. We need to read and study so we know what his commandments are. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 15:14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." If we love him, we keep his commandments. And if we do what he commands, we are his friends. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So there's a commandment here, but also it gives promises with that. So you can have length of days and long life. James 1, 21 and 22, and then verse 25. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Receive the salvation. Receive the word so it can save your souls. But you can't just listen. You also have to do it. Verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, or else you deceive yourselves." Verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Don't only study. Don't only hear. You have to look and be a doer as well. Then you can be blessed. John 14:21 through 23. We come back to that commandment to love him. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you study and keep his commandments, it proves that we love him. And he will love us. He will show himself to us. And he will abide with us. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So if you have some doubts in your mind, if Satan's putting some doubts in your mind that you don't actually know God, here's a way to know it. Know that you do know him is by keeping his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to live, even as he, or Jesus, lived. I'm thankful that he came to this earth to spend time showing us how to live, so we have an example, and that we have the Bible to give us that roadmap as well. Psalm 119, 11. There's going to be a number of verses here, not right in a row, but in 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Do you do that? Are you putting it in your heart? Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. If you want to have understanding more than a lot of people, look into the word and keep what it says. 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, or nothing shall be a stumbling block. Who wants wisdom or understanding or knowledge? Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, if, here's the then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 4, it says, if thou seekest her as silver. I think to put that in modern terms, we could say, if thou seekest her or the wisdom as money. It's pretty easy for me to get wrapped up in chasing the next dollar. It's better to study, to learn about God, than to find that next dollar. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Where does it come out of? Out of his mouth. What comes out of mouths? Words. So maybe we could read it this way. Out of the Bible, or out of his word, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. I didn't know what buckler meant, so I looked it up. He is a shield to them that walk uprightly. So if you want to have a shield in front of you to protect you from the evil one, then you need to walk uprightly. And how can you do that without knowing? He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yeah, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So if you want to be preserved and kept, you have to study and know so you get wisdom. And you'll gain all these things from the Lord. Proverbs 3:13-18. You want to be happy? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, or wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Promises, length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. For the merchandise of it, of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, is better than what you can buy with money, what you can get from silver or gold. And then it gives that beautiful promise at the end. Psalm 19:10-11. More to be desired are they, the commandments or the words, than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. These next verses are some things that what the Bible is, or what it does. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. I thought I was quick when I could run. But I don't think that's what it's talking about. The word of God is alive. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So scripture gives us wisdom to receive that salvation that comes by trusting in Christ. Do you want to be pure? Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is he going to stay pure? By taking heed thereunto the word, unto thy word. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And Proverbs 6:23 kind of says the same thing. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So, Rachel was talking about the need to spread what we have. So we can study, we can take all this stuff in for ourselves and we can do. And part of the doing is spreading God's word, spreading the good news with others. I came across in a verse in Psalm 119, it's verse 136, that kind of jumped out to me. It said, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes." So I get a picture of someone just sobbing. There's streams of tears running down. "Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." Am I sad? Does it make me cry when people are not obeying God's word? If it doesn't make me sad, is there something missing? Have I had a piece of that peace of the Lord that passes all understanding? If I have, I should want to share it. So I hope that we can go from here today choosing to study, making time to study, to get into the Word. It's been a good challenge for me because I do struggle with spending time. And I think the more we do it, the more we learn and the more we will want to do it and not just feel like it's a bear. Because sometimes I feel like it's just an extra thing I should do and feel guilty if I don't. But there's a lot of verses that point out the blessings in it, and we're commanded to do it. So I trust that we can be encouraged by that. I would like to sing "Thy Word is a Lamp to My Feet" yet, and I did not look at which number that is. Can someone help me find that? Number 141 in the Christian hymnal. That's a different tune than I had in mind. That's okay. Maybe someone can help me. I can't get this one. My feet, to my path to save me from sin and show me the heavenly way.